Mr. Chairman, Governor's letter number one requests $500,000 for the science initiative, $475,000 for student enrollment at the University of Wyoming.
Mr. Chairman, just a question on the process. So a motion. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, correct. This is the same as any other governor's rec. So the governor's rec for this is $975,000. You can split it in half. You can add to it. You can pick one and not the other. Any motion is eligible.
Mr. Chairman? Mr. Chairman, I would recommend denial of governor's rec on the science initiative funding and for the student enrollment program.
Deny them both.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I think the $500,000 on the science initiative is just going to end up being a standard budget request over time. So I think if that's what it's going to be, then it really ought to be. And I haven't been convinced all along that the amount of money on the student enrollment program is worthy of funding. And I may come back with another motion to just simply ask for a report from the university on student enrollment, and rather than expend money on it. I think there's other areas we need to expend money on that are more important than this right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the student enrollment, this one to me is a little bit different just because there can be a potential return on investment. There's been a lot of discussion about the need to increase enrollment in the university, not specifically, but one of the benefits of that is it improves their revenue stream. And as I recall, we actually had some conversation about funding half of that and letting the university match it from their own resources. And I would like to offer that as an amendment to Mr. Summers, if it's friendly.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. It probably would not be a friendly amendment. I would like to cut the whole shebang. But certainly appreciate the amendment, though.
I was wondering if Don could help me out. I have a note on this letter about $2.3 million that's ongoing. Was I in a fever dream?
Mr. Chairman, that would have been the biennial appropriation for the science initiative that occurred in 2016 for the 2017-18 biennium.
So there's already $2.3 million that has been budgeted for this for the 2 years.
Mr. Biennium. Chairman, that's correct.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. You know, on the student enrollment program, you know, frankly, each college and each dean of each college should have this as a priority within his college, and that should build from beneath. We shouldn't have to add more money to help individual colleges try to enhance their enrollment. They can work on this, in my opinion.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I'd like to divide the amendment and discuss the science initiative and the enrollment initiative separately, and start with the science initiative.
Which one would you like to discuss first?
We'll discuss the science initiative first, Mr. Chairman, if we could. As discussed earlier, there's $2.3 million in the biennium for this, and so I think if it were to not pass, I think they still have good money to continue with the project, and so we can vote your conscience on that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to offer to split that amount and say that we, the legislature, the general fund, would pay half and the university would match that.
Thank you. It sounds familiar to me. I have a short memory, though. And I would be in support of that amendment, and I would just add, my understanding, this is for a software program. It's not something that comes out of a particular – it's not particular departments' efforts to enroll on their own, and I am in support of the amendment as proposed by Representative Walters.
Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, just real quickly, I'm willing to meet them halfway, and – part of the reason is we got a pretty good description of what they're trying to do with this, and there are some advancements in this area that I think have some potential to help our university. You know, the other piece of it, quite frankly, is my appreciation for all the work they've done in good faith and have done a great job with some budgets over there. And so that's the reason I'm willing to support half of this amount.
Further discussion. Representative Somers.
Mr. Chairman, I just remind everyone that, you know, we have spent some money in some very good areas above what we probably thought we were initially going to do, and this is just one way to trim back a little bit more in an area, frankly, that I don't think they really need.
Thank Further you. Discussion. Seeing.
Okay. Mr. Chairman. Just so I understand, so the motion is to give them $237,500.
I don't think so. I think that's the other way around. The motion that was split was to deny it, and then the motion on that half is to the motion was to deny, but you're saying to approve it. So it's a separate motion on the amendment. So yeah, amendment to the amendment. So the motion would be to pay one half of the $475,000.
And a no vote would require another vote
That's
to
right.
deny it all.
That's right.
Okay.
So all those in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
No.
That amendment fails. So we're back on the original motion to deny both. Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion passes. So the Gov's letter number one has been denied. Don, next is?
Mr. Chairman, Governor's letter number two would provide $5 million in emergency grant funding program through the Mineral Royalty Grant Program.
Do I have a motion? Don, why don't you just real quickly tell them what the emergency grant program is and how that those funds are allocated.
Mr. Chairman, I believe there is $33.5 million appropriated from a combination of severance taxes and federal mineral royalties per biennium. It is appropriated to the Office of State Lands and Investments, and available to cities, towns, counties, and joint powers boards, special districts, I believe, are also included in eligibility for grants. As a result of the elimination of coal lease bonus payments, the account will not be receiving the full $33.5 million during this biennium, and in fact will experience a reduction of, I believe, approximately $5.6 million. From the testimony of Mr. Keene, I believe it is the governor's intent to restore some of that fund amount through this $5 million emergency grant funding request. I should also mention that the Office of State Lands did submit, I believe just today or last night, a list of the projects over the past couple of years that have been paid for under this program.
So, Don, as I understand it, that fund then, instead of receiving 33 this biennium, will receive approximately 28, maybe slightly less.
Mr. Chairman, that is correct. I think Mr. Keene mentioned there may have been a need to reduce the appropriation in Agency 60 to reflect that amount. I think there's a better way not to reduce that appropriation, because you never know if there is a coal lease bonus. And to the extent there is a sale in the next 18 months, that would authorize the ability of this program to receive those funds.
So if any funds are, if we approve the governor's request, then we want to put a contingency on it that limiting it if there are coal lease bonus funds released. Is that what you're saying? Or how would you couch it?
Mr. Chairman, that's a possibility. As I've testified previous, there, coal lease bonus funds are unlikely.
Yeah. So, do I have a motion from the
floor? Mr. Chairman?
Co-chair.
Idea of making all motions in the positive, I will make the motion to accept the governor's $5 million recommendation.
I have a second.
Second.
Mr. Chairman, that being said, now I'm going to vote against it. But I want it to be a positive motion.
I like the way you think. Positive. So the motion is to accept the governor's recommendation for $5 million to the SLIB board. Representative Larson.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I have a question. That goes into the mineral royalties grant program. If in the event there was if we didn't give the governor that money, does he not have the ability to go into that mineral royalty grant program and have access to that in the event there was an emergency?
Don?
Mr. Chairman, absolutely. He has the ability to, well, the board, OSLI, the State Loan and Investments Board that approves the grants, often uses their available funds for emergencies. This would just give them more funding to do so.
Well, and follow up, if I may. So the board could actually, of the reserves they have in that, they could decide as a board to leave a specified amount in the event that they needed to have emergency funding.
Mr. Chairman, yes.
President Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I might have missed it. Tell me again what the balance in that account is.
Mr. Chairman, I just checked. It's you have appropriated $33.4 million for the biennium, although I believe it is $5.6 million or so that is unlikely to be available because of the decline in coal lease bonus payments.
So follow-up. So roughly $27
million. Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Thank you.
Question
being called. All those in favor that we approve the governor's letter, number two, please say aye. All those opposed, say no.
No.
That letter is denied. Didn't turn into the positive, did it? Don, letter number three.
Mr. Chairman, Governor's letter number three provides for the continuation of the State Board of Education Coordinator position. The request is for $135,925 for one fiscal year 18. Based on the testimony, this would be provided for under the same conditions as last year's appropriation. As a result, this $135,925 would come from school foundation programs that were appropriated for, I believe the title is Leadership and Communication. Excuse me, Accountability and Communications Division of the Department of Education. Put differently, the department would have to identify funds within that have previously been appropriated for that division to support this coordinator position.
Do I have a motion on the letter? First, we had to move the letter, I suppose.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move the letter in the name of having a positive motion.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved to approve. We have discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I think you probably have the motion crafted better than me.
All right. Well, I think I'll turn over the chairmanship to you for a moment.
Absolutely.
So, Don, before I do, there is a liaison position and there is a coordinator position. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, there is a coordinator position, but the liaison is not a specific position to those duties. The position, those are duties that have been assigned to another position within the agency, an administrative position, and they're not his full-time job. So there is no, I guess to sum up, there is no specific liaison position.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. So, Don, it looked like, so what is the 1560 position? That's a kind of an AWAC, is that right? Is there's a three-quarter time AWAC contract position?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Summers, that would be the State Board Coordinator position that exists now, the AWAC.
Mr. Chairman, so that would be the one we funded, right, that was currently funded, and this letter reflects that position. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, that is correct.
Okay. So, I guess being chairman, I don't have to call on somebody else. So, as you're saying, or as Representative Summers said, this is a three-quarter position?
No. Mr. Chairman, the language in the footnote language in the budget bill last year directed the agency to find a position within it and fund it from existing funds for purposes of being the State Board of Education coordinator. The agency identified an AWAC position and it's paying it three-quarter time for purposes of functioning as the Board of Education coordinator.
And so the three-quarter time is about $100,000 plus benefits?
Mr. Chairman, the value I have given to me is $118,560 a year.
Representative, Senator Glenn. Mr. Chairman, I guess my question would be if we choose to deny this position, does the position go away or does it revert to the Department of Education and remain open?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Landa, do you mean the coordinator position?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know for sure, but I would hazard a guess that the agency would retain that position and the funding and use it for other purposes.
So, Mr. Chair, I think I've got a motion.
An amendment?
An amendment. And that amendment is that would reduce the funding for this position to $100,000 a biennium total, which would be paying that person roughly $70,000 a year plus benefits. And if I get a second, then I'll explain the concept. It's, so, Mr. Chairman, the...
Is there a second?
Yeah. Okay. My biggest issue with this is we're paying three-quarter times for, and creating it and making it a full-time position, by the way, at that amount, so that this person is truly a coordinator and not a retired superintendent or some other state employee who's making it three-quarter time at, you know, $115,000 a year. That's not, to me, what a coordinator does or what that position should do. The board's been busy doing a lot of work and been meeting once a month, and we've given them added responsibilities, and so a coordinator makes sense to me. But the qualifications of that person, I don't think, shouldn't be an advisor to the board. It should be a coordinator for the board. In the past, this position has lobbied the legislature, and instructed and led the board on where to go and on their policies. And to me, that's a different concept of the position. And so that would be my motion.
Mr. Chairman, what was the total amount?
Total combined would be $100,000 a year.
$100,000 per year?
Correct. So the wage would be roughly $70,000 a year, but with your benefits and everything else, it would be about $100,000.
Mr. Chairman.
So reduce this by, so the 135, is that an 18-month number?
Mr. Chairman, it's a 12-month number.
12 months. So it would basically strike $35,900 out of that position per year.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. And I too agree that this coordinator position is important. The state board has been given a lot of other duties and over time by this legislative body, and I think they need to have their own person work for them. And I also agree with the good co-chair that I don't think it needs to be funded as much as it was funded before.
Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. We discussed this the other day, and while I appreciate that viewpoint and am aware of it, having served on the Joint Appropriations Committee and a couple of other education committees these last 4 or 5 years, I also have to share with you that I made a special trip down to Cheyenne this past summer just to meet with the superintendent to try to get a handle on why that recommendation came during the last session, that this position just simply be absorbed and placed in the Department of Education. And I know there must be a disagreement in the executive branch on this one, because at that time, at least, the superintendent was convinced that her agency could handle the work on behalf of that board. And I haven't decided how I'm going to go on this one, but I did feel like I should share that with you, that she remains convinced that much of that work already is being done within the agency. And so thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I remain the holdout on this one. I appreciate what they're trying to do, appreciate the work of the state board and all, but what we're down here trying to do right now is reduce the size of government. And what we're doing here with this position, we're either growing it or at least sustaining government in one form or another here. It's just doing it with another $100,000 six-figure salary. And it's just another way of creeping into the system and another position into the system that we'll have a hard time pulling back out of. I would submit to the body that the Department of Education has all the talent they need to coordinate with the state board and do this, and we don't have to rack up another six-figure salary. We don't have to at least grow or sustain government. That's not our task in a year like this. Stand against it.
Any other comment? Representative Summers.
One more comment, Mr. Chairman, and I think... Thank my good, co-committee member from education, and I would say that we did actually just cut a position out of 206 earlier. So I don't know that we're going to grow government with this, because we did cut a 206 position. So in another motion at another time, and so in fact we
can
have.
Can you remind me how much would that position pay? I might amend my motion.
Yeah, I got it here in just a second. I can give it to you.
And so, I think I'll withdraw my motion.
You're withdrawing your motion?
Yeah, I withdraw my motion.
Is it all right with the second?
Doesn't matter. Yeah.
Okay. Well, then we're back on the original motion, which is the governor's rec at $135,925, which will double come next biennium.
Question.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The governor's letter is denied.
Mr. Chairman, Governor's Letter Number 4 does really three things. First, it sets aside $104.55 million from the Legislative Stabilization Reserve Account, LSRA, to the Budget Reserve Account under the auspices of either the statutory reserve or a contingency. And from that $104,550,000, the governor is requesting $21 million as a contingent appropriation for the Department of Health, Title 25, and in addition, $19.2 million for the Department of Corrections in the event of a catastrophic failure at the current location of the state penitentiary.
Mr. Chairman, I turn the chairmanship back over to you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to divide this. I think we ought to pull the 19.2 into one piece and 105 with 21 million into a second piece.
Then move that we divide the governor's request. It's divisible, so Senator Driscoll, please proceed on.
Mr. Chairman, there's actually three parts to it.
And I think we all concur. Let's do them one at a time.
Okay, that's good. Yeah.
So with that in mind, and that's just to be a room for the floor, from the chair, that we're going to do these one at a time. So do I have a motion with regards to the, let's just start with the 19.2 million.
Mr. Chairman,
for the Department of Corrections.
So moved.
Second.
In keeping it positive.
So the motion is to adopt the governor's rec for $19.2 million, as a reserve or contingency fund. Discussion.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would encourage a no vote on this. This 19.2 is on the assumption that every single inmate would have to be moved out. I don't think our prison is in that poor a shape that everyone would have to be moved out. There may be an inmate or two that might have to be shuffled around a little bit, and we have beds within our own system that could absorb those few that may have to be moved. To think that it would be that catastrophic, I just don't see it happening, so I would encourage a no vote.
Mr. Chairman, I find myself in kind of a strange position. I actually am going to ask that we vote yes on it for an interesting reason. If we don't fund the BRA, it won't be there anyway. If we do fund it, this is $19.2 million that he's not be able to put his hands on and do anything with it but that. So it leaves a base count. Otherwise, if we fund the BRA, there's no sideboards on it, and he can go ahead and do it however he wants. And this is kind of a safety up should we decide to fill the BRA. It leaves money in there that probably is truly an emergency account that something can't pop up out of the blue that he can do it. It's tied up hard. So I'd encourage you to vote yes on it and tie this money up just in case we do something else down the road that's overly positive.
Don, I have a question to you. How often has this committee in the past done like a reserve contingency like this? My understanding is it basically has not been done in this kind of fashion.
Uh, Mr. Chairman, something like this, it is difficult for me to recall anything that's quite similar. I believe in the 1990s there was a set-aside in the auditor's office for Medicaid because we had large growing enrollment numbers, and there was something to the effect that if there was a large explosion of newly eligible Medicaid individuals, then the state auditor had authority to release funds to the Department of Health. And I'm not sure it's identical to this, but that's the closest thing I can come, I can recall.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative, Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Don, question. Last session we appropriated, I think it was $13.4 million, to do the build out at the medium security penitentiary. And the governor has said that he prefers not to do that at this time. Is that money available then to the governor to use for this in place of this $19 million? Or does it just revert if it isn't used at WMCI?
Mr. Chairman, without further legislative action, those funds are not eligible for the governor for use at the state pen other than for to move inmates for operational purposes.
Okay. Follow up then. When does that revert, Don? When does that revert back to the permanent land fund?
Mr. Chairman, I don't believe I don't believe that that the $13.4 million will revert. It is a capital construction project, and I believe the language on those says that until the project is complete, the funds are still eligible for expenditure.
Don, so follow up, Don. So it would last till the end of the current budget, correct? Mm-hmm. Or does it last forever?
Mr. Chairman, I believe it would last until there is another action by the legislature, meaning it would not revert at the end of this biennium.
Okay, thank you.
It's a statutory action or is it a budgetary action?
Mr. Chairman, I believe it would be a budgetary action. The legislature could come in and say, strike this out. Alternatively, the executive branch could formally revert those funds.
So could we in the budget bill make those funds contingently available on a catastrophic need?
Mr. Chairman, I believe you could. Those funds in that account are eligible to be spent on capital construction and or operations, but that's not the direction currently. You could do that.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So a few days ago, Senator Hastert and I wound up having a conversation with Dawn about this. And she's not listening, but she can correct me if I got this wrong. That there's actually funding in the Penitentiary Permanent Land Fund to the tune of $22 million that would be available for this. Plus, if this catastrophic event occurred, there's operational monies that would not be expended. So that there really is no need for us to do this contingency appropriation, and I would defer to Dawn to correct or expand upon that.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Schwartz, I believe that you're talking about the same money. The money that Representative Burkhart referred to as the Penitentiary Land Fund is that $22 million. It's the 13 plus the 7, the 13.5 and the 7.5. That was appropriated for the electrical upgrade as well.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Driscoll.
A couple follow-ups. One, correct me if I'm wrong, if there's a reversion, it stays in the budget reserve account. It just stays there until we tell them differently. Is that correct? If it was to revert, it doesn't go to another fund. It just stays in the budget reserve, correct?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman. Because those, Senator Driscoll, because those funds were appropriated from that permanent land fund, they would remain in the permanent land fund, and if any reversion or unspent funds would remain there, it would not go to the budget reserve account.
Perfect. Okay. Second, is there a way the governor can line item veto this to make him get the money back if we goof it up?
Nothing to veto.
Mr. Chairman, no, there's nothing to line item.
Perfect. Stand in favor.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Duxton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would suggest that as tight as things are running, this probably isn't the time to stash $19 million under the bed and worries that things might not go right with the prison. We're working on that. We don't have to have that reserve, and we're just running too close to tuck this $19 million away, so against it.
Sensing that we're ready to vote, all those in favor of the governor's letter to create a contingency fund of $19.2 million, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? No.
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 That component is denied. Now we're going to the $21 million for the Department of Health for Title 25 contingency, also on a contingent appropriation from the LSRA. Do I have a motion from the floor?
Mr. Chairman, keeping things positive, I would move for the approval of the $21 million for Title 25 emergency situations.
The motion is to approve the governor's request to supply $21 million contingency reserve from the for the LSRA. Discussion.
Mr. Chairman.
Co-chair.
If I could, before I say anything, could I ask Don or Don, any of this money that we put in there, can the governor use it for anything other than Title 25?
Mr. Chairman, not if you put sufficient sideboards on that.
Mr. Chairman, in that case, I would move to amend to make it $12 million with the proper sideboards.
The motion is to approve $12 million with the proper sideboards, and those sideboards would be?
The governor cannot use it for anything other than overruns in Title 25.
Mr. Chairman.
Do we have a second on the motion?
Second.
Been seconded. Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Speaking on and in favor of the amended motion, in speaking, I feel like I need to represent our Senate Labor and Health Chair, who a couple of days ago came to a couple of us and said, we have to be realistic about this budget. We have not been for the last 3 or 4 years. He said, Senator, you're going to have an overrun. You know you are, and you really need to pay attention to that. I like this because I've just been told that we can put some sideboards on it. There's only one way that we'll spend this, and this is if we run over the budget. And I think we all know that we have a very good chance of running over that budget again. So I'm going to be willing to support it. Thank you.
Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have a question to the bringer of the motion, because the number he suggested was $12 million. And my recollection, the testimony from the Department of Health was a range from 8 to 15. And I have no objection to the 12, but I'm curious the origin of the number.
Mr. Chairman, the reason I went with 12 is that the figures we've been getting so far is that the Title 25 cases have dropped precipitously. They're more like a third of what they were. So I've decided to put in the safe in the name of safety half the money.
Representative Stewart, the most recent letter of projection was anywhere between 9 to 15 was the estimate. Please.
So I mean, it would be my preference. I guess I could do an amendment, actually. I would like to amend this to raise it to 15 with those sideboards, that it can only be used for Title 25, but my comment would be that way we don't have to go back and deal with this later or take the risk that if we run over the 12, the department takes that money out of, for instance, outpatient and mental health.
There is a motion to amend.
I'll consider that friendly.
Okay, it's a friendly amendment. So the motion now is to do a contingent appropriation from the LSRA of $15 million based upon the need for Title 25. Further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I've got another possible suggestion to add on for you. Just what you just got done saying, I'd like put in the sideboards that the Department of Health cannot reach into those agencies as part of this deal, that they will use this money and they will not reach back and get these agencies out further than they are. Is that friendly to you?
Yes. Friendly to me.
So, Don, do you understand the amendment, which is a friendly amendment, so now it is the amendment, that we it goes to $15 million with the sideboards and an additional sideboard stating that in the
that this money is this is the only Title 25 money that the Department of Health cannot use other funds other than this to supplement their existing Title 25 money.
Well, and just to clarify that the you know they've been using wages for various vacant positions to basically balance their budget. So if you use only no other monies, then you're taking away all of their pot. I mean, so that,
Mr. Chairman, that's what this does. The way I understood it was they've got their line that's in the budget, and then this money added with it fills the Title 25 budget. Is that wrong, Don?
They have vacant positions in numerous ones in the state hospital. They have vacant positions.
But that's how they've used to fill before we put.
Those are vacant positions. What you're saying is they can't use any of their funds, other than the appropriated Title 25 funds, and we already know that's only $3.9 million, roughly. I think, is that right? And so it's guaranteed that they're going to use those funds.
Mr. Chairman, does not the 3.9 and the 15 get to 18.9 and gets us to where we want to be?
No. At any rate, the motion is they have to use the 3.9 and then they use these funds. So.
Is that amicable?
Actually, at this point, hearing what I've heard is not friendly because I can't figure it out.
Let's look at the motion.
I withdraw the
okay.
Unfriendly amendment.
So, and just to comment, we've had discussions about doing a 1% or a 2% increase of some sort, and we've had discussions with the Department of Health that we would, leave them out of that so that they wouldn't be impacted by it. And if we do a 1% cut, agency across the board cut, that's roughly a $14.9-15 million cut to all agencies. Because the Department of Health is one-third of our budget, if we do a 1% cut and exempt the Department of Health, then it's a $9.5 million cut. So we have had suggested to the Department of Health that if we impose that additional cut agency-wide, that we would exempt them from it, and so that then they would save roughly $5.5 million by doing that. And if we go to a 2%, then we save them $10 million. And by doing it that way, then they can, number one, hold the feet to the fire for the folks, those community providers, to saying that we don't have the funds, and so that you continue the friction, if you will, not to do it. If we do contingency funds, then I think that those community providers may say, oh, the money's there now. All we have to do is fill the beds, and they have to pay it. So I don't know. I would suggest that the way that we've crafted it, if we end up doing a 1% or 2% increase, that it's a more effective means of saving money, of keeping the pressure on the Title 25 folks to not fill those beds, and supports our gatekeeper system and the process of whittling down those extra costs. And so, that being said, I'm opposed to the motion to go to $15 million, if in fact we don't do the 1%, I would suggest we can come back and revisit this governor's letter. But there are ways to get to this Title 25 issue without supporting the governor's letter.
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate your comments. Agree with you. Felt like for a minute we were getting ready to reach in our back pocket and spend $15 million. I think this whole Title 25 thing and it still needs to be worked out. And it's not a time to rush and get the checkbook out and start writing checks for it until we have that issue resolved. So stand against the proposal. Thank you.
So, further discussion. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to be in favor of this, and I think I'm not making a motion because it's not really a viable thing, but I think if we were to really say, well, if we don't want contingent money from LISRA, but we want to hold people's feet to the fire, then the contingent money ought to come out of the city, towns, and counties and out of the judiciary budgets, because those are the agencies that control this, not the health department. So, and obviously we're not going to do that, but, you know, that's who we need to get to the table, is the county folks and the judges that send the people out. So I'm not sure it's really fair to hold the feet of the health department when they can't help it if they're standing in the fire.
Well, I don't know if we want to start pointing fingers, but that's—I don't think that's a correct assessment on who's responsible for this. It's complicated, but it's definitely not the judiciary because they're faced with the testimony in front of them. But be that as it may,
Mr. Chairman,
it's back to on the motion.
Yeah, I hate to sound like a liberal over here; it's kind of driving me nuts. But the fact of the matter is, we've studied Title 25. We've messed with it. We've gone all the way around. I sat on health. We have to fund it. We don't have a choice. And we're about to go down a path of another year that we don't do anything. And we're going to further gut out agencies in the Department of Health if you do this, because that's we don't have any funding there. Where if you're not going to do this, please suggest to me what you're going to do when they show up, because this isn't an optional deal. We can't say we're not doing it. Our option of what you're telling me is we're going to go ahead and gut out another probably $12 million out of the Department of Health. It's a de facto cut out of them. You can do it up front or you can do it behind. We know the money in there is not sufficient. We all know that. Everyone in this room knows it's not sufficient. So I suggest to anybody that votes against it that they speak of where it's going to come from, because that's our job, is to figure out where it's coming rather than to wait until we come back next year and find out that we've done director's pick. And director's pick means that he goes through agencies and at will takes what he feels like he wants out of them. And that's what we've allowed him to do. And I think that's irresponsible. I think we really need to have it where we at least got what's projected within reason to where they can go to it. It can be contingent or something else. But taking this way is the solidest way to make it go ahead. It doesn't make it any easier. But it makes it where it's not just a random pick. I'd encourage you to go ahead and leave this piece of it there. It is contingent money. And if not, really, what you ought to do is let's move into reopen the Department of Health again and go take another $15 million out of them, or $12 million, whatever you think you need. That's my question.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Kocher.
When the head of Department of Health was here the other day, It was somewhat contentious, but I understand his point, and he keeps getting these cost overruns on demand for Title 25, and he has to go somewhere to get that money, and where he's going are these other providers from around the state, and we've over the last couple of days, we've been sitting there saying, do they get $1 million here? Do they we take away $2 million there? But that's where he's going to get that money from. I don't know that he has anywhere else to go. He's not going to go out into the steno pool and say, I'm firing four of you to pay for Title 25. He's taking from that pass-through money. I think we should put that $15 million in there. We know this. We hope this is stopgap. We hope this is one time. We hope he doesn't use or have to use a lot of it, because the Department of Health and the Labor Committee and a lot of people out in the state are working on new methods to get the Title 25, the involuntary commitments, down, and they're being successful. But the demand is still out there, and it is still happening. And so that's why I'm going to vote in favor of the motion. And the fact that it's my motion.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor that we accept the governor's recommendation to set aside contingency appropriations from the LSRA of $15 million for Title 25, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Could we see a show of hands, please? All those in favor. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The motion passes.
Mr. Chairman.
Now I'll amend the motion. I bring a second motion to reduce the $15 million down to $12
million. Second.
Been moved and seconded. All those discussion.
Question.
Question being called. All's in favor to reduce the $15 million down to $12 million, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
That motion carries. So we're now at $15 million, or $10 million, $12 million. Excuse me. Do I hear 10?
Where are we?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Driscoll.
One last amendment. Sideboard that says that no money can be spent outside of the Department of Health other than these contingency funds for Title 25 without governor's approval. And I'll leave that with the governor, but I still want it where he's got to be, it makes him gatekeep and it'll make him be the bad guy if this money goes beyond. And it gives it a little layer over it. I can go without that if someone wants, but I want it sideboarded where we don't just burn through this money of yours and then we start right back into the agencies again.
So I think, let's go back, because the $12 million has the sideboards that Senator, the co-chair recommended. So now the motion is to add an additional sideboards where the funds can only come from appropriations from the JAC or from the budget for Title 25. And after that, which is $3.9 million roughly, I think. Is that right? And we already know we've already exceeded that. So that means instead it won't be contingent. It's automatic that I'll start funding it. Is that your desire?
Restate.
Well, we've already spent more than 3.9. So under your motion, it's not contingent anymore. They will begin to use the LSRA to pay these amounts. Anything over 3.9 million. So that's the motion. Do we have a second on the motion? Motion being seconded. Further discussion. Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Since it has been seconded, I just want to speak on and against this amendment. What that does is that it automatically forces the Department of Health to go immediately to these LSRA funds without exploring any other method of trying to keep this thing in check. And that's the last thing I want. I want the governor and the director of the department. I think they will, but I want them to do everything they can to access vacant physician funds, whatever they possibly can. And so on and against the amendment.
Mr. Chairman, I'll withdraw. Great argument.
Motion has been withdrawn.
Thanks, Art.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, I would move to reduce that 12 to 10.
Second.
Been a motion to reduce the 12 to 10. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Show of hands. All those in favor, raise their hand. That motion fails. Further discussion on the governor's letter. Seeing none. So let's just. I think we're done then. Huh? Do we need any wrap up motion on that?
Mr. Chairman, you still haven't addressed the 104.
Oh yeah, that's the fun one.
And I might mention as well, this is kind of in reverse order. The governor took the 19.2 and the $21 million out of the 104.
So that essentially that was replenishing it?
So he deposited the 104 in the budget reserve account and then makes a contingent appropriation for the Department of Health, which you've reduced, and the Department of Corrections, which you have denied.
Mr. Co-Chair.
So that 104, that is that's the statutory reserve, and we put that in at when we did the budget last year for the biennium. He's taken some out. How much is left? What's the balance left in that?
Mr. Chairman, at the beginning of the biennium, we show a negative $2.4 million balance. Under the governor's profile, He restores that 104, but then he spends 40 of it, and he also counts capital gains. So he's left with $53 million as available cash, even under his recommendations.
And that was profiling the unrealized capital gains. It was realized. We hadn't gotten
realized capital gains.
How much of that is realized capital gains?
$10.1 million, Mr. Chairman.
So in other words, he's about 60 million short.
Mr. Chairman, that's close. 63.
So I think that we probably need a little bit of explanation, Don, for the committee's sake, on what the budget recurve account is, what our obligation and the governor's obligation is to fund that account.
Mr. Chairman, the legislature has no obligation to fund this account. These funds cannot be used, you know, for purposes that are not appropriated by the legislature. The purpose of the account is when revenues are insufficient, meaning they come in under the Craig forecast, that there is sufficient cash available in the event that Craig misses its forecast, which we have done most recently last fiscal year. And these are allow the governor to access those funds for only the purposes you appropriate. So he can't create a new program or pursue additional funds. This is not a contingency fund for him to pursue. It is available to him in the event revenues decline. Historically, for at least two decades, you have put in a threshold, and usually the committee will define its threshold because you don't know how much all of your cuts will save, that at the end of the day, please transfer sufficient funds so that X dollars remain available for this cash buffer. That X dollars is usually 5%, but it doesn't have to be. It can be $20 million, it can be $120 million, or anything.
And Don, what is it, how often has the governor expended funds out of the budget reserve account historically?
Mr. Chairman, I would say very rarely. I think Craig does have a good record of either hitting very close to the number or just low. And when we generate revenue in excess of Craig's expectations, then this doesn't come into play. So I can only recall one time in 20 years where the governor has ever accessed these funds. Now, the governor and the state auditor does use them for cash flow purposes because rather than taking an interfund loan, because the state's revenues come in the second half of the fiscal year, but expenditures start early.
And Don, describe what the governor's obligation is in his budget with regards to the budget reserve account.
Mr. Chairman, the governor's is required by statute to deposit 5% of the next general fund biennium's estimated revenue. And that used to be 5% of the budget. And keep in mind now it's only about 3% of the budget because the general fund only makes up roughly 60% of the budget. The rest is coming from the budget reserve account. My analogy is spouse one and spouse two. So 5% of 60%, and I'm doing some hand waving here, but it's about 3% of the total budget is actually set aside. And at minimum, I will say that he is obligated to do that.
Just to request it.
In his budget. Request it at the beginning of the biennium.
And so as I understand it, because of the budget shortfall that occurred in this earlier part of this year, and it was under our projected budget, he was able to grab the $104 million and use that to make up part of that shortfall.
Mr. Chairman, absolutely. And the shortfall came probably at the worst time, the last 4 or 5 months of the state biennium. So if he would have had to make $100 million in cuts in the last 4 months as opposed to spread over 24 months, those cuts would have been fairly dramatic. Not fairly, but they would have been dramatic. And so he certainly implemented some cost reduction measures in terms of personnel and the like, but he clearly accessed these funds in addition. I should also mention, just for the committee's background, that Senate File 68 from last year set up a different approach, which is a contingent appropriation, which this committee has historically done for at least the last 8 years, and that is set aside a provision that says, in the event that natural gas prices drop by X dollars or that the total Craig projection misses by Y dollars, then the governor would have access to a pot of money. The current budget does not include that provision, but it is at least contemplated in the budget shortfall measures framework.
And so in order to fund that, Senate File 68, is that right? What will we need to do, or what has been done to fill that bucket? Or do we use the LSRA? Do we use some other funds? What's the process?
Mr. Chairman, the process for that is a little bit different. The funds would remain in the LSRA subject to a trigger, and the idea contemplated in Senate File 68, I believe, is 5%, essentially it's the 5% of the budget, of the operating budget, as opposed to the general fund. Oh, excuse me, 5% of the balance, that's correct, of the LSRA. Which would be about $80 million. And generally there would have sideboards on that such that these funds get transferred from the LSRA to the Budget Reserve account upon the following economic conditions, i.e. oil under $20 a barrel, or, you know, you pick your own, natural gas under $1.50 or that sort of thing.
So that statute is in effect, is it not?
It is in effect, but there's no obligation on behalf of the legislature to deposit those funds.
I thought that the process was automatic when there was a certain decline in overall revenues or combination thereof to drop the budget, so that essentially it goes $150 million below the budget.
Mr. Chairman, those funds would be accessed, but only at the discretion of the legislative appropriation. And so far, the legislature did not do it last year. They did it for roughly the past 8 years prior to that.
So if we wouldn't authorize access to the LSRA under those conditions, that would, if we don't fill the budget reserve account, if there is a catastrophic event, he would have access to those funds.
Mr. Chairman, yes, and those are two different structures.
Right. Different process to get there. While we're on that, are there any? Go ahead, please.
Under that provision of, is it House Bill 68?
Senate File
68. The governor's access to the LSRA funds, just so I understand it, is only to the extent of money that was appropriated by the legislature?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Okay.
President Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I want to make sure I'm not getting too many things confused in my head. You know, we hear about the state agency pool, and sometimes it is underwater, and those are the various agencies' funds that they're getting for, you know, fees or services or whatever. I'm wondering if there might be a potential shortage in that we need to take into consideration in this, or am I getting several things overlapping, things that don't need to be overlapped?
Yeah, I think that that's a separate component on a cash flow basis, but this doesn't address that anyway.
We don't need to worry about the cash flow.
We do, but not in this bill. Further discussion. Do we have a motion from the floor? Seeing none, There is no motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'll, for purposes of discussion, I'll move that we make a contingent appropriation of, let's see, I guess the balance would be, $90 million for the, whatever it is, you know, the 104.55 minus the 12 for the reserve account.
So, Don, you mentioned that there are funds in the budget reserve account, and that confused me. And how is the, are there funds in that account at this point in time, other than the 12?
Mr. Chairman, when you make your budget reductions, that is going to help bolster that account toward the $104 million. So hypothetically, you started $10 million underwater because of the capital gains. And let's say at the end of the day you cut $50 million. Then you would have $40 million of the $104 million addressed already in that budget reserve account. So generally the legislature would specify not an amount to put in the account, but a balance to bring it up to, so that the balance after all of your action is $90 million or whatever you choose. That's an easier way to calculate it rather than say deposit 104. Well, plus $30 million in cuts, you might end up with $140 million in the balance.
So, Representative Wilson, would you like to rephrase your motion?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if I'm capable of rephrasing my motion. I'll move that the balance be $80 million.
But why don't you move that the balance be restored?
Okay. As you said.
Would that be a friendly amendment? If we have a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we restore the $104 million in the budget reserve account based upon whatever that amount is after there are cuts in the establishment of the budget. Senator Landon.
Well, Mr. Chairman, just real quickly, I seconded just to give an opportunity for a little bit more discussion here. I'm good either way. I guess my question would be lacking the funds in that account if we had some catastrophic occurrence that I would guess that would bring us down here. I'm just trying to.
Depends on what it is.
Yeah. The downside is you're profiling this. And it's there and it's accessible. You know, the plus side is this is something that we've always done. Do I have a reading on that, Don, Mr. Chairman?
And so I would speak against the motion. Number one, it's I would ask the committee to consider funding under Senate File 68. Before we're out of here in this process, in order to ensure the governor can take quick action when the need arises, and we'll go through that process. But I don't think it's reason for us to refill this again. It's going to be profiled, and it's going to be another cut on the budget. And I just don't think it's necessary. And it's not a practice, I think, that this committee should be in the habit of doing is setting up contingency funding out of the LSRI. It's kind of plowing new ground, and it's not a good idea. So,
Mr. Chairman, Don, can we reach back into the budget reserve account out of our deal if once we put it in there, is it accessible back to us?
Mr. Chairman, absolutely.
I speak in favor of it, and for a couple of reasons. Is one, the good senator to my right alluded to it. You may very well spend 25% of that in a special session if something comes up similar to the situation that Mr. Richards alluded to. We get into a serious situation, and we get to come back, and then you get answered why you spent another chunk of millions of dollars to do it. It's got a history of not being used other than when it's needed. He made that really clear, that this fund has not been one that's a slush fund. It's truly what it was set up for. It's a budget reserve account. And what we're really doing now, we're using LSRA as a budget reserve account, folks. We're doing it, but we're doing it in a fashion that's not up front. Let's fill this BRA and use it for what it is. And, yes, we can fill it, or the floor can fill it, or we can fill it from somewhere. The truth is the TIPS haven't been able to fill it. And we're running into that in other places. The money's still there. It has another firewall behind it. You're more likely to spend, I represent to you, we're more likely to spend out of the LSRA than we are out of the BRA. The budget reserve account's where the budget reserve ought to be. And this is a common sense deal. It's not a deal that we're spending money. I mean, on paper, you can say that it broke the budget. The truth is, it's a pot of money that's still there. It's there with another layer of safeguard, not a less one. I'd encourage you to fill it. The governor's not shown a propensity to be wasteful in trying to get into it. I'd encourage us to fill it.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have a few more questions on the intent of Senate File 68, if I could maybe get that clear in my mind. As I understand it, Don, if correctly, is it acts very similar to the budget reserve account, other than we can put in place as a legislature some triggers that will, before he has access or before the executive branch has access to those funds. Is that a fair assumption?
Mr. Chairman, I think the Senate File 68 contingency framework allows the governor access to that only if certain conditions are hit, whereas the budget reserve account, for example, both existed this spring, and he accessed the budget reserve account, not the contingency, which was left over from the 15-16. The reason being is it was very, very close to the threshold, and the threshold put in by your predecessors was Craig met, and they reduced their forecast by $150 million. And in April, May, and June, it was like $140 million. So it was a big problem, but maybe not quite at $150. At the end of the day, it ended up being right at $150, but very difficult to predict. So under the Senate File 68 framework, there's usually some conditions imposed upon that. Under the budget reserve framework, those conditions are not don't have to be met.
And so, Mr. Chairman, a follow-up: Do we still have some funds in the account that we had that you referred to under Senate File 68?
Mr. Chairman, it was $150 million from the LSRA, but that authority expired.
I see.
With the last budget.
Thank you. Chairman, one follow-up, Mr. Richards. Can we sideboard the budget reserve account same as 68? A reason that we can't put sideboards similar to what's in Senate File 68?
I can't, Mr. Chairman.
Please.
I can't think of a reason why not.
Mr. Chairman, I'd make a motion that we fill that $90 million of it has the sideboards that match Senate File 68. That'll allow the access to the Title 25 money, and it'll put the same restrictions on it, and it does what you're wanting to do and still keeps it where it's tucked away where it ought to be.
Mr. Chairman, I think we already have a motion on the table that we haven't voted on yet.
So it's a motion to amend.
I amended it.
Yeah. Yeah. So is there a second for the motion?
What?
I'm asking if there's a second to the motion.
I'll second it.
Did you second? Okay. For discussion. So my understanding is you're taking the language of Senate File 68 and attaching those to the, and it's not $90 million, it's whatever the bucket is to fill up the bra. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, I think the underlying motion was from Representative Wilson, and it was to fill it up to $80 million.
Oh, to $80 million. I thought you wanted $80 million.
No, we used the chairman's language.
No, she wanted to add $80 million, period, is my understanding. Or, no, let's get it straight. I'm sorry.
Mr. Chairman, I was corrected to point out that it was not normally funded to an amount, but right. rather that it was refilled. So whatever the refilled level is where we left it.
She wasn't saying only to $80 million and not to the 104. She was saying refill it. And so the motion is to refill it on whatever that amount is. And now the amendment to that motion is to only allow release of those funds consistent with the guidelines in Senate File 68. Is that possible?
Mr. Chairman, it is, but there are no guidelines. It's just a framework.
It's a process.
Right. It's a process. So I would need those guidelines such that, you know, historically it's been a set dollar amounts or.
So, yeah, that means you need a dollar amount, basically. To for the impact to occur, there has to be a drawdown of a certain amount. So it's not. And the concept is the emergency is after so many funds are expended and below the budget.
Mr. Chairman, could we lay this back till tomorrow?
We could.
I don't want to.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Co-Chair.
Then the request to lay it back, is it so you can do some wordsmithing or?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm trying to get it right where you understand it.
I understand it fine. You're the one.
I'm just going to take the will of the committee. I mean, the question is, should we lay this back and continue discussion tomorrow? And I'm inclined, just from the overall enthusiasm of this group, that we'll adjourn after this. And so,
Mr. Chairman, I support that because I think we need to visit a little bit about this and see what makes sense going forward. I don't think we've had a good discussion here, but I'm not sure I understand all the options out there.
Sure.
And so I would like to lay this back as well.
Okay. I'll agree. I'll lay this particular issue on the letter number 4 back with regards to the budget reserve amount. And so before we decide to finally adjourn, Don, run us through what else we need to do, what's on the list, and where we're at.
Mr. Chairman, in hopefully some order, you have one more letter from the Superintendent of Public Instruction to appropriately budget for K-12. Next, there is state capital construction. I believe there are two requests from community colleges using their own funds.
And that would constitute essentially a new bill. Is that right?
Mr. Chairman, correct.
Okay. Next, capital construction issue.
Capital construction issues the committee may or may not wish to address include health facilities, penal institutions.
And one more, I believe. Oh, there's the
Round Robin.
No, there's the UW.
Oh, the stipend. Oh, that's part of it.
Mr. Chairman, we have some bills ready for your consideration, either want to take them home or discuss them at any time. The energy science stipends and fellowships. And we also have the bill for the livestock inspections and investigators. Recall that the committee is not increasing the fees here. It is merely a transfer of law enforcement authority from the board to the Attorney General's Division of Criminal Investigation.
It was brought up to me today that the that DCI, we're talking about transferring that one law enforcement officer over to DCI, and it was suggested that DCI might not have the authority to do cattle rustling investigations and so forth. So we may have to have language that allows it.
Mr. Chairman, I agree, and there's it's.
It's on the bill.
It's a lengthy bill to do so, yes.
Okay, thank you.
The committee generally would provide for a round robin, allowing members to revisit issues of the prior 2 days. And then we have Game and Fish and YDOT to the extent you wish to consider those bills. I don't have copies of those bills yet available for you.
Don, will we have rough drafts or working drafts of those that we can look at tonight?
I think probably so, if you're inclined.
You can email to us or whatever so that we can look at them before we come in at 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. And we can distribute the ones we have available at this time if you'd like.
Well, and frankly, I'd like to, before we dig into them, I'd kind of like to read them. So with that, Mr. Co-Chair.
Just so we know our schedule tomorrow, we meet at 8 a.m. until the House is convened, and then you have, at noon, you have some bills from noon to 1, and then my understanding is we're reconvening as a joint committee at 1.
I think we're noon to 12:30.
Yeah, like that. No, I put it at 1 because the Senate members want, the leadership wants to meet with them and have lunch. So we'll be getting our mind right. And until the House is reconvened, then we'll meet upon adjournment tomorrow.
Right. That's what it is. Happy Friday. All right, with that, I think we're adjourned.